Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. If you ask some Christians, even some Lutherans, you will find that there are many say that it doesn't matter what this doctrine is or that doctrine is. They will instead insist upon what really matters as a Christian is one's life, how one lives in regards to the neighbor. But the text today teaches something very different than that. That there is indeed nothing that becomes of a pious life if the doctrine, the teachings of Jesus are not right. We know that there are two chief doctrines found in God's Word, and they help simplify and help us understand God's Word. They are, of course, the doctrine of the law and of the gospel. If we want to hold to just one of those two, that would indeed not be Christianity. But neither would it be if we decide to mix the two together. Because if they are mixed, both doctrines, the law and the gospel, they lose their power. And we will not be able to answer correctly either of the two questions from that gospel lesson today. We are reminded by Jesus himself today to beware of an improper confusion of law and gospel. We'll see how each of them should be used. But briefly, the confusion is this way. By mixing God's grace, that is the gospel, into the law, a person will then alter the law's demands and thus alter the law's judgment. And on the other side, the confusion by mixing in the law's demands and its judgment into the gospel, well, a person then nullifies the power of God's gospel and it destroys its comfort. In both of those cases, Christianity that is there is frail, if there is any at all. Now, in the first case, if you take the gospel, if you take God's grace and you mix it into the law, a person will say something to the effect of course I should be holy and loving, I should love God, be honest, honorable, chaste, be diligent to do everything that is good. But I really can't do this because I'm too weak. That's why I must try the best I can, and when I do that, then God will surely bear with me. You see, in this way, the law has lost its power. Its judgment is annulled. That partial compliance with the law of God is no compliance. The law is meant to render you without excuse before God. As a result of this kind of thinking, this, I'll try my best and God will honor that, well, there's no repentance. What does the law require? Stick to that point. Don't do as the Pharisees did and come up with their 365 commandments and 248 prohibitions on top of that. The law is not satisfied with half. It's not satisfied with three quarters. It's not satisfied with 90% or 99%. It is not satisfied with the best you can. The trying to do your best will not fulfill the law. It demands that we love God above all things and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. So what God demands of us in his law is perfect love. Perfect love all of the time. A kind of love for God and for our neighbor, of which only one gives us the example, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. If anything is lacking, even in the smallest detail or in intentions or whatever else, then the judgment of the law is pronounced guilty. That's us with the law. In the second confusing situation, the one where you take the law's demands, you sprinkle it in and mix it up with the gospel, then a person might say something to the effect of, sure, Christ has saved me, but I am not the exact way that he wants me to be. I dare not believe that I am saved, but I hope that I can become saved. I dare not believe that I am a child of God, but I can see to it that I become a child of God. How does such a person think? And there are many honest souls who think this way. How do they think they can become a child of God? Will it not be by Christ alone? Not in this confusion. They expect that they will become a child of God by their own effort and their works, that when they get there, they'll finally have that. These folks also certainly want to have Christ, but not really as their only Savior, not as the one who must do everything of their salvation. They want a Jesus who helps them save themselves. And that is what happens when you mix the law into the gospel. To people who have that kind of way of thinking and basically want to justify themselves, St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, he says this, "You have become strangers, estranged from Jesus. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace." In this way, just like the first confusion, there is no opportunity for repentance either. The result of this, once again, is that there is no, then, real sanctification that follows. The good that such people are busy with is not done with a joyful heart that trusts in Jesus, but with a slave's attitude of doing what is commanded by their master in hope that they get rewarded. So then we must keep this in mind. We must let the law be the law. Acknowledge what God demands of us. Do not even think for a second that you can try to lower the requirements of the commandments, or that the law's judgment is an empty threat. It's not. It's God's. It has His power behind it. When you confess that there is no escape, that you indeed are a poor, miserable sinner, that you sin against God in thought, word, and deed, well, then you must give up and say, I cannot become what God's law requires. I can never fulfill its demands. And that is absolutely true. That is what it is to confess your sins. But we never stop there. Just as Jesus didn't stop with the Pharisees, but upon their questions of the law, directed them right to who is the Christ. He directs them to hear the gospel, that then, after you have heard the law, that you have found yourself lacking in every way towards God, that you would hear the gospel, not with the law mixed into it, but the pure gospel, which says to sinners, don't be afraid. Fear not. God has loved the world, and He has loved you in this way, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, that is, whoever trusts in Him, will not perish, will not reap what they deserve by their sins, but instead will have forgiveness of sins, will have eternal life instead of damnation. That the gospel says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, the sinners. This means if you hear the law and you acknowledge the law and what it teaches you about you, this means that Jesus came to save you. especially if you understand where the law puts you. That Jesus came to save sinners like you. That Jesus carried your sins. That Jesus suffered the chastisement of your guilt and suffered in your place. That in Jesus you have perfect salvation without your cooperation. You don't need to contribute. He did it all. It is finished. That you have a salvation that is freely offered to you for the sake of God's own love for you. Now, if you believe this heavenly, eternal message, then indeed it does build up inside of you and you become happy. And then you make a beginning to love God, who first loved you. And then you begin to love your neighbor. Then you begin to love even the law that you feared before. And it becomes for you a lamp for you and a light according to which you seek to direct your life and your behavior in this earthly existence that we are given as a gift from God. That inside of you will affect you in two different ways. For the old Adam, your sinful nature, that law will come to you and it will become a taskmaster. It will work to mortify. It will put your flesh to death. But for the new man, that part of you that is born of the gospel, it becomes a guide, a sweet and wonderful guide. That when you have heard law and gospel correctly, each within their own spheres, each distinct of which one another, not ever mixed together, then you have also learned to correctly answer the question, what do you think about Christ? Whose son is he? For then not only will you say something to the effect of, well, he is the son of David, and yet he is also the son of God, but you will also be able to say, he is my Savior. He is my hope. He is my everything. The Pharisees, like the Sadducees before them, were silenced by these questions and these answers of Jesus. They could not understand the pure law or the gospel. They didn't have either one of them, really. Though for all their multiplicity of the commandments, they had only sought to ignore the true severity of the law's demands. They confused it and did not benefit from the work of Jesus, that he was there in person doing for them and for their salvation. He is warning them of their great doctrinal errors. But it shall not be so for you. Let the law be the law. It condemns. It leaves us without any effort of our own left. Let Christ then be the Savior. That Christ alone saves. And that Christ alone then saves you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.